You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is none other than Zach Borscht Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. A bit of a hectic day for me towards the end, but, you know, recovering. Can't complain. It's fucking snow these days, though, in the morning, and I'm not a fan of it, but I am at the same time.
The other night, I was just hanging out in the backyard, and then all of a sudden, like, I felt, like, a drop on my head, and I was like, oh, it's raining, and then I looked up, and I literally saw a white flake, and I was like, no,
no,
not yet.
You bastard, I still have one more day of fucking, oh my god.
Not yet. I still have apple cider. Stop.
Stop, no.
I haven't run, I'm still drinking apple cider, please.
Well, my brother and I had this conversation where Thanksgiving.
I don't want to switch to hot chocolate yet.
Not yet. Just give me a bit more. Dude, Thanksgiving gets clowned on by everyone so much in, like...
Right?
Like, my brother was like, I refuse to accept after... He's like, if I hear Christmas music after Halloween, it is a travesty. Because Thanksgiving
really,
is his favorite holiday.
I agree. I'm here for getting rid of Thanksgiving erasure. Because Thanksgiving deserves to be loved. Well, not because of what it originally celebrates.
Yeah, that's a bit...
That sucks.
Yeah.
The background of Thanksgiving sucks.
More so the message of now what it's become.
Because the pilgrims genocided a race of people. Anyway.
It did not help them in the end, that's for sure. They broke a lot of promises and hurt a lot of Native Americans. But anywho,
it's about family.
Now, these
and
days it's about
food.
Family being thankful for what you got.
And the food.
The food is also a massive plus. It's one of my favorite holidays. This is like the... Like, fall holidays from, like, October till December is, like, this is, like, my favorite sweet spot of holidays right here.
It's the only sweet spot of holidays, because after December, like, after New Year's, it's just, like, and no more holidays to look forward to forever, and it's, like, aww.
I can't even say that, because it's, like, St. Patrick's Day, and there'll be, like, the couple people out there, they're, like, don't be clowning on St. Patrick's Day or 4th of July. And,
yeah, 4th of July is not till July, though. Like, that's so far away from January. It's like, in those months in between, it's just like, it just feels like there's, like, nothing to look forward to, and it just sucks. Mm. You know, because it's like, when it's Halloween, it's like, alright, Halloween, then it's like, alright, Thanksgiving, then it's like, alright, Christmas, then it's like, alright, New Year's,
nice,
and then
like,
it's like...
back-to-backs of holidays. That you
and
get.
I'm out of it, I am out of enthusiasm. Right? Like...
I'm honestly...
I don't know.
I'm in this mood where, like, I want, like, a blizzard, but just so that I can be inside in, like, my comfiest clothes and just do nothing. But then I remember that the day after, I have to go out and fucking shovel it, and I'm like, oh, that's just...
I love when it snows out, because then it's socially acceptable for me to stay inside all day.
Yep, it's like, I don't have to do anything, I'm not gonna... For me, I don't have to run or anything like that, or walk my dog, I'm like, nope. No, I'm
like, I get to sit in this chair all day, play some video games in my pajamas.
It's the best. I want like one of those days, but the odds of that are so low of happening.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And then the next day you wake up and it's like, all right, time to break my back. Anyway.
Yep, fucking pulling like 5 bundles of clothing. I come back in and I'm like, I fucking hate the snow. Why'd I ask for this shit? Oh, mad. Then I get hot cocoa and it's pretty good.
Back to the point.
Yes.
Thanksgiving should not be forgotten.
No.
Thanksgiving is great because mostly because of the food and because of the family, whatever family you choose it to be. It doesn't have to be blood family. Family doesn't have to be blood. Family is the people you choose to love, right?
Yep.
Whether it's good friends, whether it's actual blood, whether it's not, like whoever you choose to be your family is your family. So go hang out with that. That's what it's all about. It's about hanging out with them and enjoying the day and I love to cook, so Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because I just get to cook all day.
Oh, that is true. Oh, yeah, dude, you must have a fucking field day on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. I love Thanksgiving. I love when it comes around because I'm just like, I get to cook stuff. All right. And eat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All good. It's all good.
Good eats.
Anyway, Thanksgiving is over now, though.
Unfortunately.
We took a break last week for Thanksgiving. Sorry we were gone. Sorry there wasn't an episode.
Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. Now we are back. Riding this one till Christmas, I guess. So, Zach, we have three matches this week that we brought to the table, that we both took a look at. I believe you picked the majority of them this week.
I did.
So, do you want to tell people what matches you picked?
The matches I picked this week are Masha Slamovich versus Ally Catch at Beyond Wrestling's Borscht at the Beach.
Beyond Wrestling presents Masha Slamovich's Borscht at the Beach.
Yes. And then I picked, one moment, let me make sure I get these names right, because you know me and my names, so good. Jody Threat versus Kennedy Copeland at Women's Wrestling Revolution and Beyond Wrestling again, somehow.
Because it always goes back to Beyond Wrestling.
It always does. Though my defense, I had another match that got, the video got taken down, probably because GCW isn't wanting anyone free streaming a match, so...
Without their permission.
Though, in case any of you are wondering, it was Effie versus Dark Sheik, and it was a good match. I actually quite enjoyed the match. It lived up to my expectations.
I did not see it in time.
I was told today that, on the day of recording, that it was taken out, and I was like...
I went to go watch it today, and it was gone.
I was like, fuck. So here we got this now, a match I also wanted to see.
And I brought to the table, I was feeling a little classic. This is me getting my hopes up for a possible future debut in AEW. We got a classic Ring of Honor match. We got Last Man Standing between El Generico and Kevin Steen.
You know, we've done this for more than a year, and I'm surprised it's taken us this long to do a Generico Steen match.
I might have done them on Indy 500, but I feel like we've definitely done a Generico Steen match on here. We did the Ladder War, didn't we?
No, we didn't. We talked about
really?
It. There was one
we
day I remember
the Ladder
that
War.
I swore we
covered the Ladder War.
I would have remembered the Ladder War because I feel like that's a long match with a lot of spots.
Well, we gotta watch that one now.
Yeah,
I guess we gotta go through every Kevin Steen El Generico match.
They are a tale
of sorry,
sold
guys.
Time.
Independent Waters is turning into Fight Forever the podcast, where we talk about Kevin Steen and El Generico, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Kevin, just man,
God, this is gonna.
I love those three wrestlers. those three separate wrestlers.
Yep, those three separate wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different entities.
I still to this day wonder what happened to El Generico.
Just kind of fell off the face of the planet, man.
I think I forgot. There was actually like a story for what happened to him, and I can't remember what it was.
Tragic.
I think he went to like go take care of an orphanage in Tijuana or something.
I feel like I remember Sami Zayn posting about something about that when Danhausen dressed up like him for a collective event.
Yeah, Danhausen dressing up as El Generico.
Yeah, and
him
being like, I think he said, like, my friend from Tijuana says that you have good taste or something like that.
My friend from, yeah, anyway. Anyway, we're covering all these matches. They're all pretty good, and I can't wait to get into them. Zach, since you picked the majority of the matches, which one do you want to start off with?
Let's start off with what we named this episode after, Slamovich and Catch at Borscht at the Beach.
Yeah, your nickname this episode. Zach Borschtista. That's what it should have been.
That's a good one.
That's the rebound.
Oh, that's a better
one. Got there.
Here, you can actually hear it. That gets a round of applause for me.
Should have led with that.
We got there eventually, though.
Anyway, let's talk about Masha Slamovich and Ally Catch.
Sure.
So, when I saw this was the replacement match for the one we lost, I was very excited because this is the match I actually wanted to check out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we got around to you, because if not, I probably was going to pick it next week. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I mean, I saw it instantly and I was like, oh, I'm so glad they posted for Borscht at the Beach on YouTube because I was hoping to watch that at some point.
Still very funny name.
I fucking love that name.
Also, speaking of Borscht, the way this match starts is very funny.
Yes, it is.
Because the ring announcer is introducing Masha Slamovich, and she is just standing on the ring apron, just over a giant, like, like, you know those, like, tubs you use when you're, like, when you're moving or something?
Yeah.
Those big plastic ones with, like, the lids?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those just full of borscht. Like, that's what it was. That's how we are intro to borscht at the beach, and it's, like, nice.
Nice.
Right?
Nice old crate of borscht.
And Masha wants to share borscht with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The first one she shares it with being Ally Catch, who comes out, and Masha grabs, like, a plastic cup. She's like, we have no spoons. This will have to
We're on a budget here.
she slops up a big cup of borscht, gives it to Ally Catch. Ally Catch drinks, is a good sport at first, drinks it, tastes it, and is like, not bad. And then she spits it out, and the match begins.
Just pissed Masha off. She just socked her in the face with an elbow, and I was like, well, here we fucking go, off to the races.
She disrespected the borscht, and Slamovich wasn't happy about it.
Mm-hmm. So she beats up Ally on the outside, tosses her into the ring, and then Masha counters an Irish whip from her and just hits her with another forearm in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then just chops her over and over in her chest while she's just leaning on the ropes. And it's just classic Slamovich of, like, I would never wish to trade positions with Catch.
No.
If I recall correctly, Catch tries to fight back, and Slamovich just toe holds her into the middle rope, and then she jumps onto the apron and just boots her in the face before just wiping her out with a lariat. Looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, definitely went on the offensive there, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You mess with the borch, you get the horns.
The borch, you get the horns.
Thought you'd like that.
What is... I'm gonna sound like an idiot asking this.
Okay, I might be an idiot answering it.
What is borscht?
So, you're not the first person. I actually looked this up for both our D&D game, and right before this, to remind myself, borscht is a sour soup in Eastern Europe and Northern Asia. It basically is made with beetroots as one of its main ingredients, and it's red in color when you make it.
So it's just like a beetroot soup?
Yep.
Well, all right. Sounds actually not bad.
It's one of those things that whenever I travel to Eastern Europe, because one of the days I want to, it's like on my top of my list of just things I want to try, just because I like the name and just it looks cool.
I'm sure there's some place you can get borscht.
Yeah, but I want authentic borscht.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
They're right. I also would like, if I'm going to try it, at least go for the good stuff, right?
Yes.
All right.
So back to Slamovich.
I'm saying, where were we?
So it's right after that gnarly looking lariat from Masha. And if I recall correctly, she locks her in, like, a camel clutch while, like, forearming her across the face. Just, like, trash-talking Catch.
Yeah, Masha starts this match off pretty in control here.
Yes.
And is quite angry about Ally Catch's disrespect earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to get a little payback, and she kind of just wrecks her in the beginning.
Yes.
But then there's the one point where... Masha throws Ally into the corner and goes for, like, a shoulder tackle, but Ally is able to... Catch is able to dodge and start her own string of offense, where she gives Slamovich a snapmare and then penalty kicks her in the back.
Yeah. Oh. Which then sets off this funny-ass chain of events where... To me, I found this mildly amusing, where they just started to just trade snapmare and kicking each other in the back. Kind of like all right, fine, you do that, I'll one-up you and do it even harder. And they just keep going back and forth with this, and then eventually the two are just like, you know what, fuck this, and Ally just slocks Masha in the face with a forearm, and they just go back and forth with forearms.
Yeah. They went back and forth with, like, three different moves.
Yeah,
like,
I think they kicked
They went back
backwards.
And forth with the snapmare into penalty kicks, and they got up and traded forearms, and after the forearms, they started trading boots.
Yeah, it was... Ooh. Though, eventually, Catch does get the upper hand with after she dodges Masha's spinning back kick by inziguring her.
Oh, this was so sick.
Then, immediately afterwards, as Masha gets up, she just grabbed her and planted her with a bridging Northern Light suplex, which looked fantastic. Fucking rough. After this, though, Masha kicks out and rolls to the outside, and Ally picks her up and throws her into the wooden barricade, which heads towards the beach. That is, the ring is nearby. Yes, you heard me right. This match took...
The beach.
Took place on a beach.
It is called Borscht at the Beach.
Mm-hmm. So
and
catch...
both of those things were involved in this match.
Yes, surprisingly enough.
Who would have guessed it?
This spot was actually why I picked this match in the first place outside of their names, because of the fact that the thumbnail shows the two of them in the fucking water, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, all right, I guess. So
how did this happen?
Exactly.
How did we get here?
That was me. I was like, how did you mental gymnastics your way to get to here? I must know. So they end up fighting onto the beach where a bunch of onlookers are looking like, what the fuck? Because two...
That's my favorite part. All the people at the beach are just like, what's happening?
Like, they watch this cat just hoist Mosh up into a fireman's carry and just fucking Death Valley drives her into the water.
Now, not only does she Death Valley drive her into the water, but Alley Catch, like, got Masha up on her shoulders and then ran for, like, a while before
she
got to the water. They were, like, halfway there, and then Alley Catch got Masha up on the shoulders, and she ran all the way to the water for just a really drawn-out Death Valley driver into a wave.
Yep. She tries to pit her in the water. Masha kicks out. Masha slams her into the water then. After Allie kicks out, she tries to choke slash drown her in the water till Allie, like, knocks away. Is like, fuck off.
And then while they're fighting, a bunch of, like, random vloggers run up to them with like, their phone cameras on, like, selfie sticks. And they're like, whoa!
But, I mean, in their defense, I would also be taking pictures from a distance.
That's fair.
I'd be, like, just, like, peeking over the top, like, got my pic.
Yeah, I'd be taking a Snapchat, like, what the fuck is going on at the beach right now? if I wasn't a wrestling fan, I'd be like, what the hell is going on at the beach?
Send it to all your non-wrestling fans being like, I guess they allow full wrestling on the beach now. So Allie runs back to the ring. Masha catches up to her, beats her down while they run back up. They then get back to the actual ring and get up onto the top rope, where they kind of just go back and forth on here until eventually Masha guillotines Catch's whole body on the middle rope, which looked fucking gnarly. I said gnarly twice now, more than I have. I guess it's the beach that's getting me in the mood of that.
It's the beach.
Hey,
gnarly,
tubular,
dude.
Bro. Totally tubular.
But yeah, they fight their way back to the ring. Or I guess towards the side of the ring.
It's like on the top rope, but not, because they're like on the apron.
They're on the apron.
Yeah, they're on the apron, really, when I think, fighting over the corner, if I were to guess.
They're fighting over the borscht.
Funnily enough.
It's a borscht match. First one to fall to the tub.
Oh, my. Screw your little bit of the bubbly match. Do your borscht match, you cowards.
Screw your mimosa madness, AEW. Get that shit out of here.
We got borscht in this bitch.
We got borscht at the beach.
God. So after that guillotine, Catch is now dazed. So Masha follows her as Allie is now crawled her way over to the stage, because there's also a stage nearby the ring, too. And she's spinning back, kicks her in the face, and then just straight up pile drivers her onto this fucking wooden floor of this stage and wins.
Yeah.
I was like, ow.
Just like, I guess this was a false count anywhere match, huh?
Yes, I remember the commentators were like, I guess, they said the exact thing, I guess this is a false count anywhere match?
Yeah,
and then the guy's like, it's
right
Masha's
the
show, the ref's not going to disqualify them, just let it happen.
That's true. It was Masha's show. Who's gonna tell? Are you gonna tell Masha Slamovich no? Because I sure won't.
Fuck no. Pin her in the water. I don't care.
You got it. Yeah.
And then after this match, it's a nice show of sportsmanship as Masha drinks some of her borscht, offers it to Alley Catch, who also drinks the borscht now and doesn't spit it out. And
borscht for all.
That's the end of this match.
I like how Allie came around to the borscht lifestyle.
That was a wholesome moment that I wasn't expecting from Allie Catch, of all people.
I mean, listen, if she knows a real fighter, you know she's fine to them. Like,
this is true. It,
this is why Bussy is fine.
Yes. Bussy is fine, goddammit.
Yes. Agreed. Anyway.
What are you giving this
let's,
match?
Right, we gotta rate it. Oh my god, I forgot that's our whole thing on this show.
You and I had too much of a good time talking about the match.
We did, yeah, we had so much fun talking about it. I think I'm gonna give it a high meh.
I'll join you on that high meh.
Just for pure entertainment value. Like there was no, like, moves that were, like, really stunning, or, like, there was no crazy spots, right?
Yeah.
It was just a good, solid match with, like, a little bit of entertainment value sprinkled in, and hey, I love those kinds of matches, you know? have a couple funny spots where Allie drinks the borscht and spits it out, or you go to the beach and wrestle in the water, and you go back and share the borscht at the end. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
It was just a solid match with some good, like, funny bits that was just enjoyable to watch. So I'm gonna give it a high, man. I was into it.
I'll join that high, man, and I actually liked it for similar reasons in the fact that it was fun, but, like, I watched a Masha Slamovich match. I want to watch Masha Slamovich beat the shit out of someone. And they did that for the first half of this match. And then the other half was just fun, basically, which is what you said. And I like that. It's like a little bit of both.
Yeah, you got the best of both worlds, right? Like, everybody got to do their thing a little bit. We got a little laughs, and it was all good.
Yeah, good time. Good time all around. And some borscht, too.
And some borscht. Even got some food in there. All right. Well, why don't we get into the next match? What do we want to tackle? You want to get into Steen Generico, or do we want to get into Jody Threat Kennedy Copeland?
Normally, I would say to do my second match last, but because of the absolute monster that is Steen and Generico,
that's true. That was like a 22-minute match.
Yeah,
or something.
Well,
like,
let's just do Threat and Copeland, and then finish the show on high with Steen Generico. Spoiler alert: the match is fucking great. It's just
match
long.
Of course it is. It's these two.
If there's ever a match...
It's Steen and Generico. It's like Mike Bailey. It just can't be bad.
If there's ever a bad match between those two, then hell is officially frozen over.
Even when they fought each other at WrestleMania, it was good.
These two...
Because, like, even under WWE... Even when WWE, like, basically nerfs both of them into oblivion... They still put on bangers, right?
Nerfed into... That's factual.
Like, I just... Like, all I want to see is Kevin Steen beat the piss out of people. And that's what I got in this match. In that match. But right now, we're talking about Jody Threat Kennedy Copeland from Women's Wrestling Revolution. Zach, what did you think about this one? What are your initial thoughts?
This match had a rare fight feel to it that I very much enjoyed. And,
yes, it definitely felt scrappy.
Yes, and to quote, I mean, it makes sense when the announcer introduces the competitors as the girl from Oakland Ave and the girl from your local skate park.
It was the girl from Ocean Ave.
Ocean Ave.
Because it's like the song.
Ocean Avenue. That makes much more sense. I was like, Oakland? I'm like, I guess. I'm not going to question it. There's a skate girl and there's a...
Yeah, no, it's a reference to the Yellow Card song.
Oh, yes, that makes...
There's a place on Ocean Avenue where I used to sit and talk with you. It's a good song.
It does.
It's a bop. It's a bop and a half.
Yeah, these two look like they're ready for a scrap before this match started, and boy, howdy, were they.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some solid back and forth to start this match off, like it's solid chain wrestling, until Jody just decides to shut it all down when she, like, hits a leaping clothesline into Copeland and just takes her down.
Ugh.
That was great. These two were, like, doing some solid work, definitely feeling each other out, and then Jody was like, you know what, F this.
Fuck this.
Yeet!
Yeet!
Yeet my whole body into Copeland. So after the clothesline, I have, it's basically just Jody beating Kennedy down for a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, she gets a German suplex from the corner, she hits her with some kicks.
Oh, hold on, wait.
Then she, like, loads Kennedy up for a suplex.
Mm-hmm.
She's going for, like, the holding suplex, I never remember the name of it. Stalling suplex?
Yes.
The stalling suplex, but Kennedy is able to reverse it and hit, like, an eat defeat kind of thing.
Ooh.
It was like sort of an eat defeat.
It was like a code breaker. Okay, I did. Okay, this was the part that
I thought it was. Was it a code breaker or was it like an eat defeat with both feet?
It was a code breaker on her arm.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right, now,
I must have saw it wrong.
It's fine. I literally couldn't. I literally lost track of where we were for a second, which is so out of character for me.
I mean, no, you're good, man. It happens to me all the time. I'm not used to having to bring... I'm not used to be the one bringing it back. I'm used to be the one who's lost.
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah. So we got Kennedy countering the suplex into that code breaker onto Jody's arm. Jody gets Kennedy in the corner, and Jody goes for, like, she goes to rush... Another move where somebody goes to rush somebody in a corner, and the person in the corner moves.
Yep.
Kennedy dodges, and she goes up to the top rope. Goes for a crossbody, but then Threat just catches her.
Oh, yeah, she slammed her with a Michinoku driver after that.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy took a lot of fucking punishment. Like, I know we glossed over, but, like, Jody was beating the shit out of Kennedy.
Yeah.
She was like,
yeah,
I came here to win.
Like, literally before this, Jody was just, like, absolutely dominating Kennedy. And just, like,
she's basically like, I'm here to win.
Throwing her around, just kicking the crap out of her. It was no bueno, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and then, if I recall correctly, so then Kennedy, she sees where Kennedy is on the outside. She's like, all right, I'm gonna fucking get her. So she sizes her up, goes to sprint at her to hit something, but Kennedy drop toe holds her face first into a chair.
Very good.
And with this down, Kennedy is like, all right, well, I gotta fucking get back into this match. So she just starts to use the chair to target the left arm of Jody and just beat it down. There's even a point where Jody, like, gets out of it by overpowering and just throws the chair at her.
That was so good. Jody, like, she has Jody's arm trapped, and then, like, she lets go, and then Kennedy, like, lets go for a second, and Jody just goes, like, huh.
And she's like, and
just
hucks
the chair at her. And like, that must have hurt, right?
Oh, must have. And Jody was pissed, because you could tell she was pissed, because she pursued her around the ring, and she's just mm-hmm. beating down Kennedy, who, God, tries her little heart out to get into this match.
Yeah.
And she's not even done. She gets Kennedy in a suplex position after this, hoists her up, and just stalls and holds her there for God knows how long before slamming her onto the hard gym floor. That's right. Instead of being padded, it was
just hardwood, baby. Oh, just the floor.
That must have hurt so fucking much and been so awful to take. But I got to give props to the two of them for going through with it and executing it well.
Yeah, you know, you gotta see it through. You gotta see it through, my boy.
Mm-hmm. So the two of them are wiped at this point. Jody's the first to get up. The ref count gets to 6, and she throws Kennedy back to the ring because Jody's like, I ain't winning no count out win. I'm winning this via pinfall.
I'm winning this fair and square.
Mm-hmm. And just as Jody's about to pick her up, Kennedy pulls out both her legs from underneath her and locks her in with a fucking Fujiwara armbar, which she had been working. Like, all match, even though Kennedy's been getting her ass kicked, she's been working the left arm of Jody. So she locks this armbar in, and
what a sick transition it was into the armbar, too. Like, the way she, like, slid through Jody's legs and, like, tripped her up
mm-hmm.
to get her on the ground was sick.
She held on to this armbar for dear fucking life, man.
Yeah.
Like, she knew that if Jody got out of this, Jody was gonna fucking end this match. And like, there were several times, like, she had adjusted a bunch of times. Jody kept trying to, like, pick her up, and she couldn't get her to. And then eventually, though, Jody's power is just too much for her. And she
yeah,
just...
Jody picks Kennedy up with a powerbomb.
Not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy is...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, she's gone after this.
Yeah. Yeah, after this, it's pretty over. She hits her with 2 powerbombs. And then Jody gets Kennedy up into, like, it's kind of like a torture rack, right?
Yeah.
And then spins around, and just nails a blue thunder bomb.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a version of the Spin Doctor, but I might be wrong.
The Spin Doctor? Okay.
Well, that's what John Silver does it, though granted, he just throws them, so that's why it's a version of it.
That's true.
It's called that. I call it a spinning torture rack bomb because I had no idea what to call it.
Yeah, I thought it was like a air raid, like kind of like an air raid crash into a blue thunder bomb almost.
That's good. That makes sense too. Honestly, there's a lot of ways. That's wrestling. You can describe a lot of moves in a lot of ways.
That's true. But anyway, this move ends up winning Threat the match, and she gets the 1-2-3 on Copeland.
Yes.
So Jody Threat wins this one. What do we think about this one in terms of rating?
Personally, I'm gonna give it a high, man.
Yeah, I think I will too. I'm gonna go in the meh territory. I don't think I was high on it as you were. It was okay. It was good, but it didn't like make me feel anything. Like I'm trying to like describe this. It didn't make Jody Threat feel like as much of a badass as she usually is to me.
Mm.
It felt like it was Jody Threat light and Kennedy Cope. It felt like it, like this match was too short, maybe. And I don't think we saw the full potential of either of these people. So I'd love to see them go again in like a 15-minute match and see what they could do.
That's fair.
Because I just feel like both of them had so much more to show, and they just didn't get the chance. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. I'd definitely be a fan to see these two go the distance, as the kids say.
But yeah.
I mean, like I said, I really like this match. It was very physical, very much gave me like these two be scrapping, or at least they made it seem like they were scrapping, which I liked a lot. And it just, it like fits right up my alley of types of matches that I wanted. So give it a high meh. If you like some physical ass matches, this is a good one, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid. Definitely solid.
Oh, definitely for sure.
Not bad by any means.
Oh, no. It's been a while since we've had a miss out, but so the miss outs, it's hard to mistake a miss out with a meh or a mark out, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's get into this match that we've been talking about this whole time. Let's get into Kevin Steen taking on El Generico in a last man standing match from none other than Ring of Honor.
Back before ROH became what it is now, which isn't I don't know if it's a bad or a good thing, it's just in hibernation.
Yeah, back before ROH hiatus. So what did Zach, I have watched a few Steen Generico matches going into this, so I kind of knew what to expect. What did you think what did you think about the way this match started?
This match the start was white hot and just blood filled, basically, which is what I expected going into this match, because, you know, the saga of Generico versus Steen, or Owens versus Zayn, has been told by many and recorded by most. And so I'd heard about these, but goddamn, these two, I'm pretty sure they had this exact start to a match in WWE, now that I think about it, for like a ladder match.
What, before the belly of the
match
rings?
Starts, Generico sprints at Steen, Yakuza kick, fucking knocks his ass down, exploder suplex, just fucks him up.
Can we just talk about how Yakuza kick is way cooler than Haluva kick?
Oh, man, it's such a cool sounding name, but like, I'm just so used to Haluva kick, and I just love how it's a hell of a kick, but it's a Haluva kick. It just,
I always used to just call it the hell of a kick.
I just like it.
I thought that's what it was. I didn't know it was Haluva.
What I was not expecting, as a WWE Sami Zayn only guy right now, because I don't think I've ever seen a match as Generico, I did not realize this was not his finisher.
What, the Haluva kick?
Did not realize the Yakuza kick was not his finisher when he was in ROH.
It's the Brain Buster.
It's the Brain Buster, but he doesn't do that in WWE. They don't.
No, because they don't allow Brain Buster.
They do more now these days, but they didn't at the time when he was in there. I remember that. So
I do remember them being banned for a period
yes,
of time.
So all I know Generico as is for the Yakuza kick or Haluva kick and the Blue Thunder Bomb, which never pins anyone about it, despite how good it looks.
It looks so good every time.
Never pins anyone. One of these days, if they ever have the balls to do it, they will let him pin someone with it.
They better. Because, man, it would be dope. Because that's that would be a great finisher for him. Because it's just because it makes it look so good.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow. Yeah, right out the fucking box. And Erica was
right out the gate. Yeah, right out the gate, we are hitting this match. This match is pedal to the metal.
Like, Jericho, once he gets Steen on the outside, he's dominating him until...
Mm-hmm.
Until those, I like how Steen ripped the Canadian flag from some guy and just started to choke Jericho with it.
Listen, you gotta use your Canadian pride for hurting other people.
Hurting another fellow Canadian.
No, El Generico's from Tijuana.
Oh, yes, of course.
Come on, Batista. So get your facts straight.
At some point, Jericho... Generico just starts to chuck chairs into the ring after this. Like, it's like a whole, like, kit and caboodle of chairs. Wow, now you know how the... Oh, God. Words are rubbing off me from hearing people...
So many chairs.
So many.
So many chairs.
My age is showing.
So many.
And then eventually...
There's just a lot.
He whips out a fucking spare ring rope. And I'm like, the fuck?
It's awesome. He pulled it out. It's like, what?
And I'm listening.
Like, I get it. I get why it's under there. It's like, you want to have an extra one just in case we have a Finn Balor situation.
Yeah. The other reason, by the way, that I listened to commentary and they explained this was because Steen beat Jimmy Jacobs at the 10th anniversary show because the rope broke and Jacobs did not take advantage of this, so Steen beat him. So they were like, we're never gonna, this rope's not breaking, we're not having a bullshit finish again. So they had a rope. Just.
They had an extra rope. He just to avoid a Finn Balor finish.
Brain Steen with this fucking rope. He then chucked the fucking rope at him on the barricade, almost hit him. Big.
Which was, yeah.
Fucking heavy ass thing.
Oh yeah.
Then he gets Steen in the corner in the ring and just pummels him so much that he just collapses.
I actually
the
got to help set up a. I actually got to help set up a ring once, and those are heavier than you expect.
I can only imagine. I mean, they have to be able to maintain like a full person's body weight when you like bounce off them with three of them, right?
Yeah. And you got to tighten them up tightening them up is harder than you think too. It takes a lot of arm strength because you got to get those things tight, and they're like just metal underneath like the covering. They're just like
metal cables,
wires.
Right?
Yeah, they're cables.
Oh, God, I can only imagine that, how annoying that is. So
it's cool, though. It was a fun experience.
I loved also how after Steen fell in the corner, and Erico just did not give a fuck and just kept beating him up in the corner.
Yeah.
Really did not like each other, but granted, that's what I expected, so.
It's the forever feud, man.
Mm-hmm. And then, eventually, Generico ends up on the apron. He knocks Steen away, jumps off the top rope, and then Steen just catches him out of the air with a cutter.
Classic. That was sick.
That was a great spot.
That was awesome. You went for the springboard, and Steen said, nah, son.
I love how after this, Steen just beats Generico with a chair. He goes to hit yep. Generico over the head with it. Generico catches the chair, and then he goes to hit Steen, but Steen catches it and then pulls him forward into the chair to hit him with a codebreaker.
Yeah.
Thought that was awesome.
Absolutely wrecking him. And then after that code breaker, he, like, puts the chair on Generico's head while he's down and just bounces off the ropes and hits a senton on top of the chair.
Oh, God. Just right on his fucking head, I'm pretty sure, too.
Smoosh.
Bruh.
Smoosh. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, dude. I just love how, like, these two know each other so well. Because, like, in the next spot, Generico tries to fight back with, like, a lucha-style arm breaker. You know, jump off the top rope, jump all the way up.
He was going for the tornado DDT.
Oh, really? Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going for arm drag. It involved the ropes. That's all I
know. Anyway.
And except
he was going for a springboard move of some
sort. But Steen knew this, and he just fucking grabbed him out of the sky and just dropped him onto his knee into a backbreaker.
Yeah, that was awesome. This spot looked smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Buttery smooth, that reversal.
Slaughtered him. Especially with the cannonballs afterwards that he did on him. Just
yeah, he hits him with his backbreaker, sets him up in the corner, hits a cannonball, then is like, that's not enough, takes a chair, puts it on Generico, and then hits another cannonball.
Just, there's no love lost between these two.
No.
These
two will beat the crap out of each other until the world stops spinning.
These two then eventually start going back and forth with forearms, you know, the classic fight forever spot.
Uh-huh.
Till Steen runs the ropes and Generico backpedals in order to pull the top rope down, which sends Steen to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's about to hit a tope on Steen, but Steen yanks his leg out from underneath him and drags him to the outside before Shays of NXT pop up powerbombing him onto
spot.
The fucking apron.
The NXT spot.
Ugh.
I love it.
And I love this, too, because it's actually thanks to the fans that Generico gets the strength to get to his feet. And Steen gets so mad, he just, like, runs up and pushes somebody. He's like, stop fucking helping him.
Stop it.
Let him fucking
also,
lose.
Also, I know we're calling it the NXT spot, and this Ring of Honor match predates NXT, but go with us here.
Yeah.
We know this.
Timeline works out, I swear.
Listen, I'm just getting ahead of the comments. I know people are going to be like, why are you calling it the NXT spot? This came first. Like, I know. We know. We know that spot where the best from NXT, it's fine.
So I like how after this, Steen, like, sets Generico up on top of, like, a ring crew member who's sitting in a chair in the corner. Just like, he's like, what the fuck? And then he goes to super kick Generico, but Generico rolls out of the way, so he ends up just kicking this crew member who just jumps
who
over the
sells it. sells it magically.
He just hops right over that barricade. He's gone.
A beautiful sell by this ring attendant guy. Just absolutely just leaping over the barricade into the crowd.
I love how fucking Steen is just staring like, what the fuck just happened? And then Hiroko just fucking Yakuza kick again, just fucking knocks him out on his ass.
Steen is like, how did I just launch that guy into orbit?
Steen is forced to actually go onto the stage because he can't stand on his own. And he sits with like a bunch of fans, who I'm surprised didn't throw Steen back into Hiroko.
He's hiding.
So Tanerico's like, all right, motherfucker, fine, let me go get him. He gets onto the stage, walks up, and then Steen just gouges his eye out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tanerico somehow comes up on top with this, and he just Michinoku drives Steen into the stage. And Steen is so fucked up by this that he only beats this count by rolling off and falling onto his feet. Like, he was done. But Steen, yeah, at the same time, is kind of, it's kind of like the motif of this match, though, Mikey. Steen is like the horror movie villain that just literally refuses to die no matter how much the normal people do things to him.
This is true. Like, always gonna fight.
Oh my god,
fight,
I just remember.
Forever.
We then get the fucking wild spot where Hiroko runs the rails and jumps off onto a now standing Steen and hits him with like a tornado DDT.
Which was absolutely bonkers.
And Steen gets up again, so Hiroko jumps off the apron and Yakuza kicks him in the face again.
And this still doesn't put Steen down.
Drags himself right back into the ring, so he goes for Hiroko's the tried and true, the classic table from under the ring.
Also, I know we talked about it already, but man, that diving senton over the announcer's table off the stage from Generico was just sick.
Oh my god. So, table
anyway,
is set up.
Moving on.
He lays Steen on this table. And like I said, like a horror movie villain, like a slasher villain, as Generico's like going to slide into the ring, Steen, just his hand just shoots up and he grabs Generico's legs, yanks him out of the ring, beats him down.
Get over here.
Lays him on the table, and then without missing a beat, he gets into the ring and full sends it, runs the ropes, hops over the top rope, and hits a tope on Hiroko through the table.
Gorgeous.
Loved how he was like instantly like, I know what I must do. Fuck this guy.
It was just an awesome spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where he does the assisted tope con hilo just to put Generico through the table.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely sick.
When it's clear though that Generico is going to beat the count, Steen gets two chairs and he sets them up in the ring facing each other. And he goes to drive Generico through the chairs, but in a shocking turn of events, Generico ends up dropping him headfirst onto the chairs with a half Nelson suplex.
Oh yeah, Generico coming back, baby.
Steen
setting not up- dead yet.
Kevin Steen setting up chairs and getting put through said chairs. What is a more tried and true combo?
Right?
I remember this, like, fuck it. I was like, oh, I'm like, you just dropped him on his head?
Yeah, he did. Every suplex that Zane hit, every, like, what was it, like a back suplex, a snap suplex?
It's like, I believe it's like a, half Nelson suplex, but it's kind of like a Snapdragon, but it's with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Yeah. It's very cool, and every time he does it, it looks like Steen just absolutely lands directly on the top of his head.
It's just the fact that he's still alive today shows that he did it fine, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, never got hurt, I guess, doing that, so it's crazy to think about that.
So,
it just looks so brutal.
Yeah, Hiroko then just beats the shit out of Steen with these chairs, and then when Steen's like, stunned from this, Hiroko goes to brainbuster him through the remaining setup chair, because Steen only went through one chair, so there's still one set up. But Steen then counters him out of nowhere with a pump handle brainbuster through the fucking chair.
Which is ridiculous.
Fucking awesome. And the two of them get to their feet, but Hiroko immediately collapses to the ground, like he barely got up. So Steen's like, alright. So he takes a chair, shoves it onto his chest, and then as he's climbing to the top rope, and Hiroko gets his second wind, pops
second
up,
wind,
sprints at Steen, and Yakuza kicks him, sends him off the top rope and through the timekeeper's table on the outside.
Absolutely bonkers.
And yet, despite all this, the chairs, the brain busters, these two hate each other so much that they get to their feet at the same time again.
What else is new?
Back and forth with forearms, till Spine spits at Generico, flips him off. Generico does the same exact thing back, because fuck you, Steen. Spit in his face, double middle fingers, Steen bites his finger, because he's a dirty cheater.
Oh, yeah.
Steen runs to the other corner, but Generico is literally right behind him after this. So, the moment Steen turns around, he gets nailed by, you guessed it, another Yakuza kick, and another half Nelson suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Generico goes for the brainbuster again, and this time, after some back and forth, he finally hits it. But it doesn't put him away.
No, of course it doesn't. Why would it? Because it's Kevin Steen.
Gets up again to his feet. And they use chairs to prop each other up. Like, they both have to, like, use it like a crutch to get up.
Which was very good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they both get up with chairs in their hands, look at each other, and go. And all of a sudden, Duel of the Fates starts playing in the background.
Yep. Chair fight, baby.
They both have these chairs. It's just like, no, fuck. I messed it up.
Fantastic. But of course, because Steen is a bastard, in the middle of this chair fight, this glorious chair fight, he fucking kicks Generico in the dick.
Oh, what a... No pun intended, but what a dick move.
Exactly. Generico falls to his knees, so Steen's like, oh, you're fucked now. He grits the chair. He's poised to fucking drill him in the face with it. And then out comes Jimmy Jacobs. Remember that guy I mentioned at the beginning of this match?
Remember that guy from earlier? Chekhov's gun!
He refused to turn heel against Steen in that match. So he gets in the ring and swipes the chair from Steen. And as they're arguing, Generico gets behind Steen and hits him with another half Nelson suplex.
Again and again, Steen looks like he falls directly on top of his head.
So he gets up onto his knees, and Jacob grabs the chair Steen had just used, or was going to use, and hands it to Generico. Steen is like on his knees now. The roles have literally been reversed now. And Generico does not even fucking hesitate. He goes to swing right at Steen, and then out of nowhere, Jacobs pulls out a pen and jams it into Generico's eye.
Heel turn, baby! It's time!
Now it's time. Now, apparently, according to the comments, this is a great heel turn, but to me, I had no context, so I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, right? I was like, save here! So, I was like, wait, is he helping Steen or not?
And then Eriko's just grabbing at his eye, he can't fucking see. Steen hands Jacobs the chair, and to cement his heel turn, he tells him to brain him in the face, and Jacob does not give any fuck for Generico. Hits him over the head with the chair. Generico lays on the ground, and as he gets hit in the face, Steen, like, falls over with him, imitating him getting hit with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Ref counts. Generico doesn't get up this time, kids. The monster, the bastard, Kevin Steen, and now the newly healed Jimmy Jacobs win the match.
Can we just talk about how a chair shot to the... an unprotected chair shot to the head is a fucking awesome finish.
It really is.
I get it, they were trying to cement the heel turn, but man, imagine if the match just ended with the two of them, like, dead tired, out of breath, one of them gets the chair, the other one's on their knees, and then with, like, the last final bit of effort, fucking Steen just brains Generico. Like, that's it would have been so, for me, it would have been so much cooler if Steen just, like, wailed on him to finish it off, but I get what they were doing.
I was not against
this. They have a story to tell.
Yeah, literally only, thank commentary saved this for me, because they actually mentioned him, and I was at least sitting there, I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, they were like, it's Jimmy Jacobs, and I was like, oh, thank God.
I'm like, that guy you said?
I was like, oh, thank God. Now I know who he is.
Yep, and they had the story to the match. They really sold it. Yeah, no, yes, Generico got fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
To add on to that chair shot thing you said before, it also puts the context of how much punishment these two went through, and it was a chair shot to the face is what put Generico down.
Just a
not
clean...
the tope through the table, not the brain buster through the chair, not the several ways that Steen punished him in this match. Nope. Just a good old classic.
Just a clean chair shot to the dome.
What are you giving this match, Mikey?
I'm giving this match a mark out.
I am also giving this match a mark out.
This match was absolutely bonkers awesome. I can watch Kevin Steen and El Generico fight literally all the time. if they fought forever, I would watch every second until I all passed away. They're gonna have like a last man standing match one, if they're like they're both gonna be like 90 having last man standing matches in their retirement home. They're gonna be like kicking at each other's walkers, like, you know, Steen is gonna like get up on like a hospital bed and jump off of it.
You know, it's funny. I was actually thinking that. I was like, these two are going to be, like, the rare cases in wrestling where, like, an old person comes back. Like, a really old person comes back, and two of them have a match, and it's just a god-tier match, because they're just old as fuck.
Just good. It's just good. Like, but, even though they're old, it's just good.
They have chemistry, but they're old AF anyway.
Yeah. Like, they're just going to forever have awesome feuds, and I'm here for it. That's the only time I ever tune into WWE is when I know Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are fighting.
I mean, it's
the only time I'll ever tune in.
Those are good reasons to hop onto WWE.
Well, hopefully, Kevin Owens will once again become Kevin Steen in AEW. That's my hope. For Kevin, I believe his contract is up soon in WWE.
It is. It's up in
January.
Howdy,
would I love to see him go with his buddies, the Young Bucks and Adam Cole.
I would not be against that.
Mount Rushmore of wrestling, OGPWG. Bring it back. Bring back the greatest faction in wrestling history.
I've never got
not the Elite, the Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
The only time I've seen this group was the promo in which that name was uttered, which is fucking hilarious. Look it up if you need to.
It's very good.
So I'm excited if that ends up being the case. But if not, Kevin Owens will still be a great wrestler. Sami Zayn will also be a great wrestler. My bad. El Generico, wherever he is in Tijuana with his orphanage, will still be a great wrestler.
I hope he comes back to wrestling one day.
He's in a far-off land where none of us can see him, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I think that's about everything.
Dudes in hiding. Yeah, that's everything. We have no double down, I guess, since we both watched all of last
so
week's matches.
So weird saying that stuff.
No double down. We didn't get a preview ready for next week because it's 10:30 the night before this episode comes out and we're recording. Just to out ourselves a little bit there and break the fourth wall.
Don't worry. Next week, we got you.
Anyway, yeah, I guess that just leaves me with the plugs, huh?
Oh, baby.
Yeah, so go check out, go follow us on Twitter at CountOutPod, where we post all sorts of fun stuff. That's where we interact with our fans the most, so if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to talk to us, if you want to talk wrestling, hit us up on Twitter at CountOutPod, or you can go to CountOutPod.com. which is our website, which has all of our social links and a page to contact us. We are actively looking for more podcasts to be on the network. We would love if you are a wrestling themed show who is looking for a network to help support you and get you through and post all your stuff on our feed, and just want to be part of a cool group of people. Hit us up over at CountOutPod.com. There's a whole page where you can email us there. We're looking for writers, we're looking for podcasters, anyone who can help the network. We would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciative. And we'd love to have you on. So go check out countoutpod.com to sign up there. And if you want to continue being just a fan and not be part of the network, you can join or be part of the network in a different way, I guess. You can join the Countout family by being a member and subscribing for $5 a month, which gets you exclusive content. A whole batch of it. Very good content. Very, very good content. And all that, and the money you donate goes wherever you feel like wherever you want it to go, whichever shows you want it to go to. You can customize your donation any way you like. So you should become a member over at countoutpod.com/membership today. We'd really appreciate that. We do a lot of hard work here, and you know, this is us, like, this is us tipping our hat, you know, at the end of a performance. You know, because we gotta do what we gotta do to get by. But either way, even if you don't decide to subscribe, that's fine. We appreciate you listening and downloading anyway, and subscribing and just being here. Just listening really helps. Knowing we're not talking to nobody is nice.
Yes.
So thank you for being around. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a fan. We appreciate you greatly. You can also check out our Facebook page, which is Count Out of Wrestling Podcast Network. We basically post a lot of the same stuff there as we do on Twitter, but we have a better formatting for our page over there. It's like we can post all of our articles and stuff. You should go like that page as well, and download all, and go check out all the other shows here on the Count Out Network as well as Indie Waters. Shows such as Happy Hour every Thursday night. We live stream it on twitch.tv/countout, where we just play games, have fun, relax, have some drinks, talk some wrestling, and just be friends and be merry. It's a fun chill stream to come hang out in every Thursday night at 8:30. Go check that out whenever you can. We also have How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling, Your Dose of Death, Ring Post Radio, and all sorts of fun stuff here on the network. So go check those out whenever you get the chance. And I believe that about wraps it up. Oh, if you want to go check out our YouTube channel as well, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network, where we post all of our Twitch VODs and different video versions of podcasts. And we have some old fun stuff from Hit the Books, some old commentary we did on over WWE 2K from Hit the Books that we love. So go check that out on the YouTube page over there and subscribe over there as well. You know, as they say, smash that like button, smash that bell, hit that subscribe button. You know how it be. And that's about it for the plug. Zach, am I missing anything?
I don't believe so.
All right. Do you have anything personal that you'd like to plug?
No.
Didn't think so. I ask every time anyway. One day I'm going to ask and you're going to be like, I do have something. Anyway, that's it for our show today. So that just leaves me with one more thing left to say, and that is to remember that there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop it.
Hi guys, this is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.
Exploring.